What is the alternative? The alternative is you wouldn't be alive. Or really the alternative is, yeah, you wouldn't be alive, and you would be standing before the judgment seat of God right after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scripture tells us that it's accounted unto man to die, and after that, the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question would be is, are you prepared?
Mm-hmm.
If, you know, the alternative were to happen, would you be prepared to stand before the judgment seat of God and give an account for the things that you've done in the body, whether they be good or bad? And I'm talking about things that you've done in your body after your baptism, of course.
Right.
We know that you know, there are, our sins are washed away. God remembers them no more. But are you ready, you know, post that moment where you went down in that water grave of baptism? You feel comfortable with the judgment?
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
That's a question each and every one of us is going to have to answer individually.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not, well, then all glory be to God that He's given you another day, another 24 hours, or another moment, let's right. say, to work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Every single day that we have is another day that we can use or should be using towards our goal of making heaven our home.
Yes, yes.
You know, when Jesus, when he was preparing to give himself up to die on that cross, he said, you know, where I'm going, you can't go. But this place that I am going, I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it weren't so, I wouldn't have told you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was always kind of a goal for each and every one of us. There's goals that we have in this life. There's goals that we have in the afterlife. But regardless of which goal, it's important that each and every day that we make positive steps towards that.
Amen.
The reason why I bring this up is because in the Garden of Eden, what was the goal of Adam and Eve? I mean, you know, Adam and Eve were in a place of paradise.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a need for anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It says that, you know, in chapter 2, rather, of Genesis, the second chapter, it says that that God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And this is in Genesis, the second chapter, verse number 15. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat.
Mm-hmm.
But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in that day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We know that Adam and Eve, being the woman that was taken from his flesh, or the creature that was created from his flesh, let's say, also was able to eat of any tree. The tree of life was in the midst. They really didn't have any cares, worries, anxieties, other than just to continue to dress and keep this place of paradise. And again, I'll bring this question to your mind. What was their hope?
Mm-hmm.
What was their goal in life? You know, what were they striving for? Everybody is striving for something. You know, right now, if you're hungry, you're striving for food. If you're broke, you're striving for money. You know, if you're old, you're striving for renewed vigor and youth. If you're young, you're striving to, you know, be able to enjoy your old age. I remember when I was young, I thought, you know what, I'm striving to make money so I can get out of my mom's house so I can enjoy life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way that I see people enjoying life on television. You know, that was what I was striving for. not understanding, you know, what that entails in its entirety. But again, I go back to this question. What was the goal? What were they striving for? In Genesis, the third chapter, verse number 1, it says, now that the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
What was their goal? What were they striving for? You know, they saw, and I'm putting they in there because Adam was just as culpable for this transgression as Eve was.
Mm-hmm.
But let's focus on Eve just because of the context of the conversation that Eve is having with the serpent. Eve is, as it says in verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. What were they striving for? They had everything they possibly could want,
mm-hmm.
but they wanted more. They wanted the thing that they did not have in their possession. Or rather, they thought they had in their possession.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in verse number 6. So, Satan has a very crafty way in bringing to our minds what we desire. And he establishes that, or he helps us establish that as a goal. You know, goals are based off of, you know, our hope. You know, we hope to achieve such and such. My goal is to make a certain, let's say to buy a new home. Well, I can't necessarily hope for that until I see a pathway to achieve it. Now, there are some people who hope for fame and prestige and really don't have a plan to get there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And because they really don't have a plan to get there, it's not necessarily a deeply rooted hope that results in action.
Right.
But those who have a goal in mind that, you know, they can see a pathway to it and they go about pressing forward towards that goal. Eve is no different. Except Satan helped her realize that the path that she had laid forth in her mind to obtain this wisdom was a forbidden path.
Mm-hmm.
I bring this up in the context of hope. Because and again, the title of my lesson is spiritual hope.
Mm-hmm.
We've read this before in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse number 1 about faith. You know, where the Hebrew writer says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, our faith establishes our hope.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, faith is the substance of, it's the gooey innards, let's say, mm-hmm. of the things that we hope for. You know, you think about faith in the context of what maybe faith in a worldly context, let's say, is that I have seen others do it,
mm-hmm.
and therefore I have the ability to do it.
Right.
My faith isn't necessarily in my ability to do it. My faith is in I've seen others similar to me who have done it, and therefore there's a higher likelihood or a higher probability that I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It goes like this. Jose Altuve, second baseman for the Houston Astros, is what, 5'6", 5'5", something like that,
mm-hmm.
right? And you look at him and you say, if he can make it to the major leagues,
mm-hmm.
at his short stature and play the game at a high level, then I can do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen me do it, right? So I really don't have a faith in me doing it because I haven't done it myself. I look to the evidence of others who have done it mm-hmm. as proof positive that I can do it. Okay, maybe you're not. I look at other men and women who are in the profession that I am in, who look like me, who came from the same experiences as me, and I say, well, if they can do it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, give me a moment to turn over there. Very first chapter, starting at verse number 12. Solomon says, I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my heart to seek and search out wisdom concerning all the things that are done under heaven. The swords rebelled that God hath given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen all the works that are done under the sun,
mm-hmm.
and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I commune with mine own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. And yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is vexation of spirit.
Mm.
For in much wisdom is much grief.
Mm-hmm.
And he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, you may say, how is that possible?
Mm-hmm.
How does, increasing wisdom create more grief? And how does increasing knowledge increase more sorrow? Well, here's the thing, and we'll look at this in greater detail in Romans, the 8th chapter, is if you've seen it, as some people will say, if I can see it, I can believe it.
Mm-hmm.
If I can see it, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the reality of the situation. Just because you see it, doesn't mean that that's something that you should believe in. Just because you can see it doesn't necessarily mean that you can do it. Think about it for a second. If I truly believed that Jose Altuve, and patterning my life after Jose's life, were result in me playing second base for the Houston Astros, what is my life going to be filled with? Disappointment, sorrow, and grief, because there is only one Jose Altuve. No matter how closely I line my life with his, there is not a guarantee that it will result in what I've established for myself as a goal. I look out to the audience and those on the prayer line who maybe have looked at professional athletes and said, if Michael Jordan, can get to those heights from putting up 1,000 jump shots a day. If I do that, if I take all the things that gospel, let's say all the things that he did, and I do those things, then I will make it to the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Solomon calls that vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, having more wisdom of how things work, having a greater understanding of how the world turns, is not going to result in, you know, peace, joy, and prosperity to any one of us.
Mm.
I mean, it's less than a coin flip. You know, a coin flip is 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
It's less than a coin flip. There's only one Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
I can throw up a gazillion jump shots a day and I'll never be Michael Jordan. Spud Webb is 5'5". There are only going to be one Spud Webb. How many 5'5" players are playing in the NBA right now? How many 5'5" basketball players are there who are striving to get to the NBA and will never make it? Talk to those individuals. Talk to Brother Marzette about his pursuit in the major leagues. Talk to Brother People about his pursuit to play in the NFL or to play in the NBA. Talk to me about, you know, all the things that I've striven to do in my life only to have fallen short
mm-hmm.
in some way, shape, or form. Think about all those many times you went to bed and you didn't get picked for the All-Star team.
Hmm.
Or the tryout didn't go as well as you wanted to. Mm-hmm. And how you felt afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
You felt as if you didn't have any value.
Mm-hmm.
You felt like there was a void inside you.
Mm-hmm.
You felt lost.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon describes that again as a vexation of the spirit. You know, it says in chapter 2 that he did a great many things. And it says in verse number 11 that he looked upon all the works that his hands had wrought, on the labor that he had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. It's almost as if he said, I wanted to get to the mountaintop.
Mm-hmm.
But when he got to the mountaintop, mm-hmm. there was nothing there for him. There wasn't anything there. Death was there.
Mm-hmm.
Sorrow was there.
Mm-hmm.
Grief was there.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've seen the 40 for 40s on ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
You know about these professional athletes who fall into alcoholism, gambling, drug use. They've been divorced 3 or 4 times. They have babies, mamas upon babies, mamas upon babies, mamas.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
They play the game for 15, 20 years, or they strive to play a game 15 to 20 years. For what purpose?
Mm-hmm.
I've told Brother Marzette this. I would probably be the shortest tenured professional athlete in the history of professional athletes. I would get my guaranteed money after year one
mm-hmm.
and then say, okay, I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm retiring. Why? Well, I mean, if the goal is to get to those heights and make that money, well, after you've made that money, why would you continue to play? Why do they continue to play and play and play and play and put their bodies through all this? It's because when they get to the mountaintop, they find that there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And so they say, well, I have to strive for another mountaintop. Maybe I need to get a championship. They get a championship and there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe if I get 2 mm-hmm. or maybe if I get an MVP or a rookie of the year or, you know, all these things, and they continue to climb mountains upon mountains upon mountains, and they find when they get there, there's nothing there.
Mm-hmm.
And Solomon describes this as vanity and vexation of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to Genesis, the 2nd chapter. Genesis, the 3rd chapter. The goal was what? wisdom. We see the various ways in which we are all tempted, you know, in this particular chapter. Not only did they want wisdom, they, you know, were not immune to the pride that goes along with being as gods, mm-hmm. as the serpent had mentioned. Mm-hmm. They weren't immune to the lust of the flesh. You know, and then Eve looked upon that fruit and saw that it was a tree to be desired, or it was a desirable tree. Mm-hmm. The fruit was pleasant to the eyes. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, all the things were there. You know, I often think, well, why would God make a tree and a fruit that appealing if he didn't want us to eat it?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God create a world in which we all inhabit, where there are a multitude of things that look good, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That taste good, and that make us pretty,
mm-hmm.
or handsome,
mm-hmm.
right? The things that we should not be partakers of are the things that look pretty, that taste good, and that make us better in the eyes of others.
Mm-hmm.
Why would God do that? We'll read on.
Mm-hmm.
Verse number 7, it says, their eyes, in verse number 7, it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and tied and sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now, I go back to this question of why. Well, this question of why is really a filter. Why are all the things that one can hope for in this life, why are they tasty, why are they desirable, why do they carry some essence of pride? Is this because God needs to know, God wants to know, God is desiring to know who amongst us, right, truly love him? Who amongst us are truly invested in something that's bigger, greater, and more powerful than anything that exists here on this earth?
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned to you before the analogy of the Jews, you know, were promised a bike. And this bike could get them down the road, but it was limited in how far they could travel and the speed at which they could travel. The New Testament comes around, and God gives them a car, right? The range and the speed is far greater than the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But because they were so fixated mm-hmm. on, you know, their goal, their hopes, and the desires to obtain a bike, that they rejected the car. Now, all of us, you know, who have the New and the Old Testament bound together in the Bible, we look upon that with eyes that are crossed, right? We're like, huh, well, that doesn't make sense,
mm-hmm.
does it? Well, what about a child who's born into an extremely wealthy family, right? And their very first birthday, they get $1 billion. What do you do for any subsequent birthday after that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, $2 billion. All right, fine. And then $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And then $4 billion. Okay, fine. We can go up, but at what point does the gift after that first gift
mm-hmm.
carry more weight? Or carry more value?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The idea is God wants us to understand, God wants us to believe in a hope that goes beyond all of the prizes and goals and aspirations that we have on this side of life.
Amen.
And I'll highlight that with a few verses here in a few moments. But I don't want to get it too far ahead of myself. It says in verse number 13, the woman said to God, when God asks her the question, what is this that thou hast done? What did the woman do?
Mm-hmm.
The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how did the serpent beguile Eve? Well, the serpent beguiled her by making her aware of the desires of her flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Making her aware that there was something out there that you didn't have, but you could see it and obtain it. Okay, let me break that down for a second. Satan beguiled her by showing her something that she did not have, but that she could have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just that she could have it, but she could see it and just walk right up to it and grab it at a moment's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to our scripture reading about hope, what does it say? Brother, people, if you could read that, Romans, the 8th chapter, starting at verse number 24.
It reads, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we wait for it.
Okay. I'm going to read a verse. Keep your mark where it is at. In Proverbs, the 21st chapter, it says, in verse number 5, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only..." And I'll just to highlight this again, I'll read again.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "The thoughts
mm-hmm.
of the diligent are aligned with or tend only to plenteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But of everyone that is hasty, only to want."
Mm.
Okay, I'll read that again. "The thoughts..."
Mm.
"...of the diligent..."
Mm-hmm.
"...are on all the blessings and the plenteousness that you currently have."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
"...but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Right? They you got it all.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The diligent are, wow, the present, my present state,
mm-hmm.
is a blessed one. Now, the diligent, you know, those who are thoughtful,
mm-hmm.
you know, those who are considerate,
mm-hmm.
those who, you know, look both ways before crossing the street, those are the diligent. But the hasty, what are they going to do? They're going to run across the street without looking,
mm-hmm.
right? Because there's something right over there that they want, and they got to go get it,
mm-hmm.
because they can see it,
mm-hmm.
and they want to go get it. When? Now. Now read Proverbs 8, verse 24 again with now that you're armed with that piece of information.
"For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it."
Okay, so it says, okay, let me read another verse.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to read it again.
Mm-hmm.
Proverbs 21 and verse number 26.
Mm-hmm.
It says, He coveteth greedily, let me read this again, verse number 25, "The desire of the slothful killeth him,
mm-hmm.
for his hands refuse to labor.
Mm-hmm.
He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the diligent
mm-hmm.
is one who, you know, focuses on the plenteousness of what they currently have.
Mm-hmm.
The blessings that they have.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the diligence are, are one that are thoughtful, considerate.
Mm-hmm.
They go to God and give him thanks for what he has currently blessed them with.
Right.
They look both ways before crossing the street.
Mm-hmm.
The hasty, they run because they want it now.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on to say in verse number 26 that, you know, this want manifests itself as covetousness.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
They not only want it, they want it readily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They not only want it, they worship it. Right? You know, the Bible tells us that covetousness, which is idolatry,
mm-hmm.
right? It becomes to them as a focal point for every decision that they make in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They want it, mm-hmm. and everything that they do in life is focused towards that want.
Wow.
Conversely, it says again that the righteous, what do? They give it freely.
Mm-hmm.
They don't spare to give stuff away. Why don't they spare in giving stuff away? Well, the verse that we just got to read is because they have plenty to give.
Mm.
Mm. And because they have plenty to give, because they're not, they don't worry about giving, is because, guess what? What they're giving away will never touch or never diminish the prize that awaits them up in heaven.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, this is a prize that they cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
And because they cannot see it, they can patiently wait for it. And because they can patiently wait for it, what are they not doing? They're not being hasty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They can wait on one side of the street and patiently allow traffic to clear up.
Mm.
Whereas those who are hasty will jump out there. And here's another verse. What does it say about the love of money?
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter and verse number 10, it says, "For the love of money is the root, of all evil."
Mm-hmm.
Which while some coveted after,
right,
they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They can't wait. So they run into the street and they get beat up, ran over, knocked down, punched in the gut, pierced through with all of these sorrows, these same sorrows that Solomon alluded to in the book of Ecclesiastes, right?
Mm-hmm.
This pursuit of getting to the mountaintop, finding nothing is there,
mm-hmm.
and then almost, you know, just out of sheer fear and anxiety, looking for another mountain to climb because there's got to be something more than just this.
Mm-hmm.
They pierce themselves through with many sorrows because the pursuit of mountaintops, you know, that you can see is vanity and vexing to the spirit. But what do we hope for? Now, where is our mountaintop?
Mm-hmm.
Our mountaintop is beyond what we can see with our physical bodies.
Right.
But we can see with our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's what we're striving for. We have faith that this particular mountaintop, our faith is what does it say? Our faith makes up our hope,
mm-hmm.
or is the substance of our hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We have faith and we hope that when we get there, we will find something far more substantial than any mountaintop that exists here on this level.
Right.
Do you believe that, Stephen Curry, have you thought about how he puts on his pants? Okay, well, just think about it for a second. How does Stephen Curry put on his pants?
One
leg at a time, right? He knew that was coming, right?
Yes.
Right? How does Christ put on his pants? No, he doesn't put his pants on one leg at a time. Christ doesn't have need for pants. Right? He operates, he moves differently than Steph Curry, does he not? Mm-hmm. You know, our Christ, our Lord and Savior, you know, the person that we are padding our lives after, right? Mm-hmm. I don't have faith that I can live perfectly because, guess what? I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I have never lived perfectly in my life. Mm-hmm. I have never sat on the right hand of the throne of God. Mm-hmm. I have never lived a life without sin, neither guile in my mouth. But I'm striving to get to where he is. Mm-hmm. Right? My faith is rooted in the fact that Christ came to this earth as a man just as me, and he lived a life perfectly, whole and complete, and he sits on the right hand of the throne of God. He is my Jose Altuve. Mm-hmm. He's my Michael Jordan. Mm-hmm. He's my Willie Mays. Mm-hmm. I was trying to fish for your favorite ball player, and I got it. Mm-hmm. He's my Willie Mays. Right? And if you were to come across those individuals, you may think, wow, they're greater than life. Mm-hmm. But guess what? They put their pants on the same way you put your pants on.
That's right.
One leg at a time. They are no different in any way, shape, or form than you. They just happen to be making more money. Mm-hmm. But whoop-de-doo. They may have more honor and prestige. Mm-hmm. Right? They may have better cars, bigger homes. They may not have to pay as much in taxes as you. Mm-hmm. They may even have access to some cutting-edge technology that allows them to live longer than you. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, as the Bible says, it is accounted unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, I go to this point. How does Christ put his pants on? Don't know, don't care. Mm-mm. Christ doesn't have pants. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how he puts his pants on. Because he transcends the wearing of pants. Just follow along with me. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to a point. You know, the scripture says that every man will die and after that the judgment. Mm-hmm. Well, did Christ die? Mm-hmm. He did, but what did he do? He overcame death. So even that doesn't apply to my Lord and Savior. Mm-hmm. He is the mountaintop that I have faith and hope that when I get there, I'll have more than what I will ever, ever dream of. Mm-hmm. To that point, and I'll conclude with another verse in Romans, the 8th chapter. It says in verse number 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Mm-hmm. If you need proof, yeah, you got proof. Mm-hmm. You got the Spirit. If the Spirit communicates with our spirit, that says, when our spirit says, are we the children of God? The Holy Spirit says, yes, you are, because I wouldn't be talking to you if that weren't the case. In verse number 17, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You know, that's the reason why the diligent are blessed with the plenteousness that they have. Mm-hmm. That's why the righteous are to give, can give, and spare not. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they know that if we continue to suffer as Christ suffered, who gave and spared not, then when we get to that mountaintop that, you know, that we will all get to after we suffer and die righteously in the eyes of God, we will be glorified together with our hero. Mm-hmm. How many times, LeBron James says that Michael Jordan was his mentor, his hero,
mm-hmm.
is who's the best? LeBron James or Michael Jordan? I don't know. You can answer that. But when we get to the mountaintop, what does this scripture say? It says that we are joint heirs with our hero,
mm-hmm.
Christ. And we'll be glorified together
mm-hmm.
with our hero.
Mm-hmm.
Who's better, us or Christ? In this life, we know who's better.
Mm-hmm.
But in the next,
mm-hmm.
we will be as Christ is.
Mm-hmm.
We will have just as much right to the throne of God as he does.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be glorified together with him. Paul says in verse number 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us."
Mm-hmm.
Because of that, the earnest expectation of the creature waited mm-hmm. for the manifestation of the sons of God.
Mm-hmm.
For we as creatures was made subject to vanity.
Mm-hmm.
Not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope.
Mm-hmm.
But we just mm-hmm. got the reading, you know, how we became subject to vanity.
Mm-hmm.
We became subject to vanity when our eyes were opened
mm-hmm.
and we saw the difference between good and evil.
Between good and evil.
Except, unfortunate for us,
mm-hmm.
our flesh is not attuned to those things that are good, but to those things that are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for us, our goals in life as human beings are set on things that are evil,
mm-hmm.
or rather those things that do not pertain to eternal life,
mm-hmm.
or rather those things that will not get us to the mountaintop,
mm-hmm.
the spiritual mountaintop where Christ and God reside.
Mm-hmm.
And those in any other mountaintop, there's nothing there.
Mm.
It's vanity and vexation of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
In verse number 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
Mm-hmm.
You know that every single human being who gets to the top of a mountaintop, you know, they think that they want a certain thing, but deep, deep down, they're seeking for the exact same thing that we who have the Spirit are looking for. We are looking to be saved
mm-hmm.
from the desires of our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We want to be redeemed from this evil body
mm-hmm.
that is subject to vanity and vexation of spirit. We want to be freed from it. Solomon wanted to be freed from it. You talk about somebody who was rich. He was rich.
Mm-hmm.
He had everything.
Mm-hmm.
He built everything. He did everything. You want to talk about women? Solomon had women.
Mm.
You want to talk about honor? Solomon had honor.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about, you know, being handsome? Solomon was handsome. Mm-hmm. I mean, what was it? Bathsheba? Mm-hmm. What was her name? Was that Bathsheba or Bathsheba? The Ethiopian queen?
Mm-hmm.
She came from way over there to come over to see him, and she was just amazed. It says that when she came, his visage went far beyond mm-hmm. what she thought he would be.
Mm-hmm.
He had everything. And what did he say?
Mm-mm.
All of it was vanity and vexation. Every single time he got to the top of a mountain, mm-hmm. There was nothing there for him. He could not be redeemed from this body. And that's what we are hoping, we are ultimately, that is the hope, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Is we want to be in a place where we will be free from the bondage of sin, from the bondage, the weight, the worries, the anxieties, the pain, the tears, the sorrow of this body.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing on this side of life that will free you from you. Whether you're a poor you, or a rich you, or a young you, or an old you, an ugly you, a pretty you, a fat you, a skinny you, a tall you, or a short you, a dumb you, a wise you. Doesn't matter, you will always have to deal with you. But Christ, in his gospel, has told us that if we pattern our lives after him, if we give God the glory in our plenteousness, if we love others by giving and not sparing not, what does he promise us? He has promised us redemption from our bodies. He has promised us that we will be in a place where there will be what? No more pain, no more sorrow, no more discomfort. We'll be able to be as we truly want to be. As we all truly desire to be. We'll worship God happily and joyfully forevermore. If you're here this morning, it says that, and if you have an opportunity to read through the balance of Romans 8 chapter, I would encourage you to do that. But if you're here this morning and you're striving for the wrong mountaintop, and you know deep down in, within yourself what you want. I was talking to Sister Garner the other day about death. There's people who, right now, Donald Trump, let me rephrase that, I shouldn't even mention his name, because it's not fair. Pick any rich, powerful person that you know. What is one thing that they cannot avoid? And I was using Donald Trump because they say that there's two things that are unavoidable, right? Death and taxes. Well, the man Donald Trump doesn't pay taxes. So he has worked his whole life to avoid that. And I would guarantee that if he could avoid dying, he'd probably spend all of his fortune pursuing eternal life. Would he not? Every single man, woman, and child that's living today will not be here tomorrow. God has promised, and the scripture says that God is not slack concerning his promises, that what? He will destroy this earth and the elements, and everything will melt with fervent heat. Everything must and will come to an end. Everything must and will meet its demise. So every single human being, as they are pursuing money, fame, what are they really running from? What are they really afraid of? Death.
There it is.
And when you get to the top of the mountain, just as Solomon got to the top of his various mountains, what did he find? He still found death. Death was ever present. Death is always there. It's like you get to the top of the mountain and Satan says, okay, great, you found me.
Amen.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Satan is always there saying, oh man, you missed it. Let's find you another mountain to pursue. And if you get to the top of that mountain, I'm telling you, eternal life exists up there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Just try to get to the top of that mountain.
Mm-hmm.
So people chase this ignorant word called legacy.
Mm.
And I say it's ignorant because Solomon talks about legacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
He says that rich and wise men, they pursue legacy, but guess what? A couple generations from now, people won't know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's why rich people buy buildings and put names on them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why there's famous people who have their names in elementary schools. Why? Because if they can't live forever in their physical bodies, they strive to live forever with this quote-unquote word called legacy. Except even at the top of that mountain, there is nothing but death.
Mm-hmm.
Because buildings will fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this earth will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
The only mountaintop that any one of us can reach,
mm-hmm.
where death is not waiting for us when we get there, is a mountaintop that's written in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us if we live faithfully until death, when we get to that mountaintop, what is there going to be waiting for us? A crown of love.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're here this morning, again, and you've been striving for the wrong mountaintops, I guess I would say is today is a really awesome day, a really great day to stop pursuing that mountaintop that you're on, because the only thing that you're guaranteed to find at the very top is vanity and vexation of spirit, and ultimately, death is still going to be there waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not a member of the body of Christ, and again, you've been climbing these false mountaintops, just understand that, again, as has been mentioned, that in order to be able to scale the mountaintop that Christ scaled, to be able to get to the top where eternal life resides, you have to hear of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You have to believe it. You have to repent. You have to confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You have to go down that water grave of baptism based on that proclamation of faith for the remission of your sins in order to obtain the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll come up out of that water, that same power that God used to raise Christ from the dead, that same power that God wielded in order to conquer sin and death is the same power that he will use to wash away sin and death from your body, mm-hmm. your spiritual body. And you can begin the journey. That race that Paul speaks of on two separate occasions. You can begin your race, you can begin your journey to scale that mountaintop. I'll stop talking. Dr. Martin Luther King talked about a mountaintop in his dream speech.
Mm-hmm.
I have a dream speech, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
What happened when we get to that top of that mountaintop? Same old, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're striving for a mountaintop where the peak goes beyond the confines of this physical world.
Mm-hmm.
The peak is a spiritual peak. And we're all hoping that right when we get there, we'll hear those words, "Well done, thou faithful servant."
Mm-hmm.
Enter in.
Mm-hmm.
To what? Enter into eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we want to be. So, with the days that you have, don't be hasty.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run across the street without looking. Focus on the plenteousness that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just continue to scale this mountain until the very end. Let's continue to have faith and hope for eternal life, which only exists in Christ Jesus. So if you're here, if there is anything to do so, please come forward as you stand and sing the song of invitation.